Tonight's lesson is entitled, The Battle. The scripture text is taken from Romans 7, verses 22 through 24. Romans 7, beginning with verse 22, reads, For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I've read Romans 7, verse 22 through 24. May God bless those hearers, readers, and doers of his holy word.
Fly away, fly away your glory. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I say good evening. It's good for us to be here once again that we might embrace the commands of God and do his will as he calls us to worship him on this day in spirit and in truth. I want to speak to you today from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to start in verse number 10. Again, it's a familiar verse of scripture, but repetition is the best teacher. And that's why the gospel, the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continues on from generation to generation and will never, ever fail. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. You know, in the final section of this letter to the church of Ephesus, Paul uses images of a Roman soldier to explain how Christians ought to remain faithful to God. It's about faithfulness to God. You know, we look at the seven things that comprise the armor of God, and we never think about how God has called us to faithfulness. It's the call to faithfulness is what it's all about. How we ought to just remain faithful. And he finishes his letter, however, with a high imagery and an enthusiastic call to arms and rallying the church again to remain just that. It's about being faithful, not giving up, not giving in, but knowing that God will fight the battle for us. But it's something that we have to do because his call is to be strong with the strength of God and not with the strength of man. And he repeats that same idea twice for emphasis. Be strong in the strength that God supplies, not our strength at all. The strength or power is not about bulging muscles or human fighting skills. It's not about that. It's about using the strength of God for this battle. And in these verses, Paul explains that it's the strength of God that is necessary, since the enemy is not a human enemy, but is spiritual in nature. Verses 6, 11 through 13 explains just that to us about the spiritual nature of this battle that we have encountered. The readers of that time, though, would have understood the imagery of the full armor to refer to that of a Roman line soldier. Rome used this type of soldier to conquer other nations over and over and over again. In the same way that these soldiers were fully covered, Paul says that the Christian should be fully covered with God's armor as well. But this is the strength that God provides for us. He also says that once you're covered, the Christian needs to stand firm, be immovable and invincible. Stand against the expert attack of the enemy, because the enemy is not a mere man. He's not a mere man. This is not a fist fight. He's the devil himself. Paul describes a battle as a struggle that suggests hand-to-hand combat, and everyone is on the line. Everyone is face-to-face with this enemy in a hand-to-hand struggle, and the struggle is for life and death. He goes on to give two views of opposing spiritual army. One is the evil rulers, powers, forces, and principalities led by Satan himself. And the second is a great number of wicked spirits in heavenly places. So the battle is real. And the exhortation is to put on all of God's armor, because human strength cannot prevail against such an enemy. We have not been equipped to fight against sin on our own. It's not in us. In the end, you find that the last one standing will be the victor. But the reality of all of this is that there will be a battle. The reality of all this is that there is a battle, and it's a battle to the death. And the reality of all this is that you and I are in this battle. Whether we want to be in it or not, we are in this battle. And if you remain faithful, if you remain standing, you'll have the victory. You'll have it. He goes on in this letter to describe a seven-piece armor of the Christian warrior by using a Roman soldier getting dressed for battle. He talks about truth in verse number 14. He says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." There was a basic tunic that was worn by soldiers as a basic garment or covering. And to cover oneself with the truth of God is a basic thing, because Satan's main weapon is a lie. He's a liar himself, and he's the father of lies. So when you cover yourself with truth, you cover yourself with the basis that's needed for courage. You cover yourself with the basis that's needed for freedom, because the enemy is rendered powerless against the truth. There is no lie that has ever stood up against the truth. Some of the favorite lies that Satan likes to tell is, "There is no God." He says it over and over and over again. And then he deals with your self-image by telling you that you're not good enough, that you might project a low self-esteem in your spiritual life. But truth comes in. She sits down and she triumphs over all evil, even the lies that Satan might even tell us. So put on the truth. It's the first bit of armor that God has supplied us with. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness — righteousness is the second thing. This is the metal breastplate worn and strapped over the tunic. That righteousness referred to is that which God gives us because of our faith in Christ. We're acceptable to God because of our faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And God's righteousness can't be pierced. However, once Satan's arrows are unleashed, his weapons could easily pierce a thin, shielded self-righteousness that we carry in our own lives. It's the righteousness of God that protects us against the arrows of Satan. But self-righteousness will get us wounded every time, because it's not about us. It's about truth and righteousness in Christ. So put on the truth and the righteousness that comes from God. He says in verse number 15, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You see, soldiers wore foot coverings over their sandals, and the foot coverings went up all the way to their shins. But the key word here I want you to look at is preparation. Preparation. The thought is that the Christian soldier is prepared to walk into battle on the account of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That gospel is the power of God, and it's the power that enables the Christian to do that battle. It's the power that gives the Christian the ability to stand firm. It's that gospel that assures the Christian of his salvation and gives him strength to face the enemy who wants to overcome us and take our salvation away. We can face the enemy on any front because of the salvation that has come to us in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. So put on that gospel. He says, put on the faith of God as well in verse number 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You never thought about Satan shooting anything at you, did you? But he's shooting at us all the time. The Roman soldier had what was called a scutum. And a scutum was a 4-foot-high shield that covered him from his knees to his eyes. And it provided protection from the arrows and other projectiles that the enemy might shoot at us. The shield of the Christian is not simply what's called subjective faith. We can't have subjective faith which says that I believe what's true because it's what the Bible says. Subjective faith will not get us into heaven because even the demons believe and they tremble. But they're not going to enter into a battle against themselves. Faith is what we need. The shield is the actual doctrine itself, the actual word of God that responds to the fiery attacks of Satan when he says that it is written. And God has said, thou shalt surely not. It's the same shield that Jesus used to defend himself against Satan's attacks when he went into the desert. He used the word of God to stave off Satan and undermine all the things that he had in mind for God's son, that he might tempt him and we might lose our own souls. He says, put on the helmet of salvation in verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation. You know, even today, with or without a helmet on, sometimes we take blows to the head. And those blows could be lethal. They can kill us in an instant. So the soldier wore a helmet to stave off a lethal blow. It was his protection. He could survive a wound to the leg, a wound to the arm maybe, but a blow to the head, he rarely survived it. And so he wore protective head covering. And Paul has explained from the start that God has blessed him with all the spiritual blessings that include forgiveness of all of our sins. It includes resurrection and glorification and how God exalts us. And in this passage, he compresses all those blessings into one word, and that word is salvation. So put on a helmet of salvation that we might understand that we're forgiven of all of our sins. And salvation comes from God because of the resurrection of his son. And we're glorified because of the glorification that we have in Christ. And he has exalted us into higher places around the throne of God. The battle is real. He tells them that the battle will sometimes be fierce and there may be injuries. But as long as we keep on the helmet of salvation, knowing full well that we have salvation in our lives and it comes from God, no fatal blows will ever strike us, for there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. No condemnation because we have the helmet of salvation on our heads. He says, put on the word, verse number 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, formerly, as we've read before in these scriptures, he described defensive equipment that we need to fight against Satan. Now he goes on to describe two offensive weapons. The Roman soldier usually carried an assortment of weapons with him. But his most basic weapon was a 3-foot sword called a gladius that was strapped to his side. Paul described the word of God, the faith that we have, as a defensive weapon, and he refers to it as a shield early on. Now he changes the imagery to describe God's word as a sword of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives us that word, the sword of the Spirit, that it might just cut and cut and cut all of the sin out of our lives. Cut out our own word because we think we have all the answers. Cut out all of our intelligence because we know we're smarter than God sometimes. Cut out our will because we don't want to do God's will. And worldly wisdom, it just won't do in this fight. Only God's word is what's going to do. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. If we're going to win a battle, we have to start our offense using that sword, which is God's word. You know, there's an old cliche that says sometimes you have to fight fire with fire. And we see that sometimes in California. They start fires because another fire started. They might have a backflash, I think. to stop that fire that's burning as well. The same is true here. One has to fight spirit with spirit. We've got to fight the evil spirits with the spirit of God that he has given us, that lives within us, that dwells within us. Fight those evil spirits with the Christ that lives within us. And it's not us, but it's Christ that lives in us that gives us the victory. He says we have to fight this battle with prayer in verse number 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. For the soldiers of Christ, for those of us that put on the full armor of God, the final preparation for war is and always will be mental preparation. You've got to be right to get it done. I want you to recall in the battle of the Philistines and the Israelite nation when Saul was up against the giant Goliath. You remember that Saul was afraid to fight. And here comes David by the will of God. And Saul says, listen, I want you to put my armor on. And he put his armor on and the armor didn't fit. I want you to know that it's not like that today. The spiritual armor that God gives to each and every one of us is one size fits all. But you got to put it on to know that it fits. You got to put it on to know that it works. You've got to put it on to know that God will give us victory if we just stand and have the mental preparation that we need to fight that battle against the sin in our lives. All soldiers. As a soldier, I remember spending a lot of hours in briefings before even talking about war, before going to war, even in exercises. We spent hours upon hours preparing for that. See, commanders want a soldier to be mentally alert. Soldiers ought to be mentally focused and tough and motivated. And if a soldier becomes careless and becomes too mentally lazy, if he loses his focus, he could easily hurt himself or even be killed. If his mental focus isn't what it ought to be, he can get the whole battalion killed, amen? You know, a lot of people have heard of friendly fire, but it isn't what you think it is. Really, it's not. I got to tell you, even when I was in the military way back when, there were some people who you know that wasn't mentally prepared. They had everything else. They had the uniform. They had the armor. They had the ammunition. But they didn't have the mental wherewithal to know that when we started a battle, that they were going to get everybody else killed. So what happened? They sent them home. Friendly fire was from those of us that were in the camp. We sent him home to his parents. War to save the life of everybody there. It's a shame, but I got to tell you, war is hell. It's hell. We can't afford to do that. We've got to all be mentally prepared to fight this battle of Satan because if I'm caught in sin and I can't fight the battle and you're too weak to fight, we both are going to die. We've got to have that mental preparation when we put on that full armor of God. We've got to be ready to fight because our life is at stake. The life of the church is at stake. But we know that the victory belongs to us because Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shall not. Paul exhorts these Christians at Ephesus. He says, I need you to remain alert by keeping your minds keyed in to prayer. You've got to pray. You've got to pray consistently. You've got to pray in the Spirit. Pray for each other and pray for me as well, Paul says, that I'm able to do my job in battle. The Christian stays focused in communication with God, who's our commander. We stay in communication, we become mentally prepared through speaking with our commander, the Heavenly Father. who gives us our marching orders. And we march by the beat of his drum, not by ours. It's not our will, but God's will that might be done. You don't worry about the war. You just go and fight the battle because it's real. And so Paul encourages Christians to see themselves in that battle. We all in that battle against spiritual forces. And he tells them to put on the spiritual armor that God provides. A Christian in battle doesn't try to engage an enemy on his own. You'd be a fool to do so. You'll endanger yourself as well as the whole community of soldiers that's behind you. But we got to use the offensive weapons of the word and prayer to defend against the enemy. And we've got to stand firm until that enemy is defeated. And that enemy is closer than what we think he is. Paul says these words to us about the battle in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse number 15. We've got to realize that the battle is real and the battle isn't too far away from us. The battlefield is more closer than what we think. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that lives in me. The battle is closer than what we think. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for the will is present with me, but I perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. I can't seem to win the battle. It's constantly over and over and over in my mind and my life. I just can't seem to get it right. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that lives in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. We've got to fight. There is no good thing in us. But I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my flesh. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's the question that we need to ask ourselves. The battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's, but you've still got to fight. We just can't give up because sin is rampant, it's prevalent in this world. But we don't have to give in to it. We can put on the full armor of God and have the faith that God has called us to. And we will fight. We will fight. And we will thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord so that with the mind we might serve the law of God. We might be prepared mentally to serve the law of God. But in our flesh, all we do is serve the law of sin. The battle is closer than what we think. But we can't be overtaken by sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbids that. Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, he put up a formidable fight, didn't he? But I got to tell you what's so unique and interesting about the fight that Jesus put up. His fight was one of surrender. Surrender. And boy, did he surrender to win. For if they had have known that they were killing the Son of God, amen, surrender to win. Surrender to God. Put on the full armor of God and fight against the wiles of Satan. Against all those wicked things in heavenly places, let's fight. Let's have the faith that God has given us, that we might find faith, that we might be faithful when he returns. Never give up. Never, ever give up. Never give in. Never, ever give in. The battle is real. And more than anything else, we know that Satan is on his job. And he's seeking to whom he might devour. He wants you. But we've got to be on guard. And once the guard duty is over, it's time to fight. Time to fight. The fight is not between ourselves. It's not a fight within our families or within our husbands and wives. It's not a fight between our children. It's a fight with Satan himself. And he is a warrior. But we have the Lion of Judah. Amen. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. And the victory is ours. We can help you understand tonight that the battle is real. And that as a soldier of Christ, we've got to arise and fight. Repent of your sins. Stop fighting on your own. We're not equipped to fight against sin. He called us to just bring all our burdens to him and let him fight him. Let him carry him. We're not equipped to carry those burdens. Christ stands there waiting for us. The commander in chief of our army. We are soldiers of Christ. If we can help you today, let's arise as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Wonderful.